Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tony Sager. How are you, Tony?
Great, Sean. Great to be back on with you.
Wonderful. We're also joined by Charity Otwell, Director of Critical Security Controls here at CIS. Charity, how are you?
Great. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. Fantastic. Third time's a charm, Charity. Third time
right.
is a charm. Wonderful. We're also joined by a very special guest, President of Corporate Information Technologies, Lawrence Cruciana. Lawrence, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Sean. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here. And what we're talking about today was we're talking about accreditation, why it's so important and why we need to build elements of accreditation into our supply chain, into processes so that we can evaluate those who are providing services, both in product and complementary capabilities to respective organizations. Now, Charity, could you just give us a quick overview of what is meant by CREST accreditation?
Yeah, absolutely. So by definition, accreditation is given the official approval to act or to give someone credit for achievement. So essentially, the CIS controls accreditation is an opportunity for vendor and consulting companies to achieve recognition that their knowledge of the CIS critical security controls and the services that they provide around that are in alignment with and attested to by CIS. So where CREST comes in is our external accrediting body to actually do that review and provide that acknowledgement. So you take your critical security controls content and that we've partnered with another globally known nonprofit to have that assurance that you are meeting the rigorous standards of controls knowledge as a practitioner. So this is a recognition, right? And is accompanied by that external review to ensure the organization potentially being accredited meets our level of required skill set. CREST is also a cybersecurity industry leader and was selected based upon their respected processes for providing that stamp of approval. So our special guest, as you mentioned before, I'm so excited to have Lawrence on as our very first CREST controls accreditation adopter, which was in October of last year. This is an achievement, right? It's an honorable accomplishment, in my opinion, and provides a sense of trust that can be passed on to the receiving company's clientele. So congratulations to you, Lawrence. So excited to have you on.
It is fantastic to be here, and I very much appreciate that. That is, it is, and I think your point is right. It is a, it does convey trust, and it is an accomplishment. Really recognizing what the organization has done. What in our case, what we have done in choosing the CIS controls as our North Star for over a decade.
Absolutely. No, thank you, Lawrence. And let's stretch on that a little bit, Lawrence, because I want to talk about the importance of going through and having such an accredited capability, why that's important within the really the ecosphere that we see today. What drove you to that position, and ultimately, why do you think that's so important?
That's a fantastic question. So as I mentioned, for us internally, we have been using the CIS controls for over a decade as our North Star. The fact that the offense informs defense strategy that's there, and just the efficacy of a plain English written security framework that we can communicate with our clients and not in necessarily cybersecurity interests, but business interests, that everyone can understand it and it's acronym light, that led us toward CIS. It was, for me personally, like a light going on as a long-term CSF practitioner to engage with the controls and go, this just makes sense. And so for us, it was the accreditation process was a matter of putting our money where our mouth was, you know, really, so to speak, putting it out there, say we do CIS, We mean it, we live it, we understand it, we are deeply invested in it and our processes and how we do all the things inside. And that was what drove me to aggressively pursue the CREST accreditation. Because I think there are a lot of people that say we do CIS, but if you scratch at it just a little bit, you find that they do CIS selectively, or they do it in a manner that really isn't commensurate with the intention of what the controls intend to accomplish.
Absolutely. That's fantastic, Lawrence, because I think you're absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. I think in a lot of cases, it's not doing this for security's sake, but it's also a business proposition that allows us that level really of attestation to move to an accredited capability. I think it adding, elements of that supply chain security element, you're also adding a business opportunity and looking at our capability and where we are respectfully in this massive ecosphere, as it were, of others that profess similar capability. But again, accreditation maybe takes it to another new level.
Indeed. And I think, Charity, one of the points that you made around CREST as an entity, my experience with them and going through the accreditation process, it was a legitimately sporty experience in a very positive way. They did turn over rocks. They did ask difficult questions. They asked for like our process and our quality documentation. In the middle of it, I had some choice feelings for it, but at the same time, taking a step back and saying, but that's what we signed up for, right? We signed up to go through this process to state, have an external body not just passively say, yeah, you guys are you're doing this stuff, but really actively understand what that meant in our practice and adoption of the controls and how we implemented those both from an assessment perspective, but also in our managed services practice. So I think that the point with that I wanted to underscore there was that CREST as a partner in this, excellent choice. And they did do a very thorough job of validating what it meant for us when we said that we practice the CIS controls.
Absolutely. The rigor in terms of requiring accreditation, fantastic. Tony, I want to get your thoughts on the importance at this time now that we're moving into this type of requirement and now getting to accredited capability. What have you seen over time, and do you think we're moving in the right direction now?
Yeah, the having been around this since, I'll say, day zero or day one or day and a half, I know. But the controls really started as an informal, I'll say, hobby project over states. But, it didn't have any of the professionalism and rigor that we associated with it today. And it was just an idea, and one part of the comic book origin story was a 2-page letter we sent from NSA, to key friends. If you don't know where to start. And that was our experience. Most of our customers and government agencies were just paralyzed. They didn't know where to start, much less make progress. If you don't know where to start, based on our experience, start here. And the SANS Institute turns that into a gigantic thing, right? I could never have dreamed that big. So it goes from a 2-page letter to a worldwide activity run as a community service project, we'll say, out of SANS, originally through a DC think tank and then into SANS. And it was a wonderful thing, right? There were posters and events and classes and all that sort of stuff that started to build up rapidly because of the branding and the weight of the SANS Institute there. But the bottom line was, it was a document that was posted to a website, and anybody who wanted to grab it, mirror it, copy it, move it, whatever, that was kind of part of the model. And so no one knew, like, who's using this? How are they using it? What are their questions? What are their struggles? And so part of the move to CIS in 2015 was to professionalize the activity and to bring all the machinery that we now expect to be part of the controls. But to this notion of accreditation, one of the taglines we use, Lawrence, at CIS, I don't know if I ever shared with you, but it's creating confidence in the connected world. It's one of those marketing lines, but it really has some meaning to us, right? We create confidence. That is our practices, that we create confidence through rigor, through transparency, through open collaboration. Hey, if you have comments, you can be on the working group, right? You can be part of the team that reviews all the, you know, that there's an openness to it where we create confidence in it. And we've bolstered that with data analysis under the hood over the last couple of years with the community defense model. So the idea is we want you to have confidence through our transparency, our openness and collaboration. But, you know, as we become professionalized, a lot of our content is not delivered directly by us. It's delivered through folks like you. And so we feel this responsibility, and there's another C word, which Sherry and I have discussed, is about conveying that confidence, making sure that whether you talk to us, you download from us, you work through a service provider like you, or you go through a vendor like one of the big IT security vendors or a cloud provider for hardened images, we have a responsibility to make sure that what you wind up with reflects the intentions, right? The confidence that we created up front. And as you noted, the marketplace, you know, again, we can say we've gone from a relatively casual activity to a professional one. Well, lots of folks say, okay, I want to meet that market need. Part of our conveyance of this confidence is that we have a responsibility. We want to be able to point to, people ask us all the time, hey, we love your stuff. Can you recommend a service provider? Well, we want a fair way to do that. We want a structured way so that we can say, yes, the work of Lawrence's team reflects our intentions, right? Exactly as you described it. And so that was an important part of this is we looked at this pretty hard actually for quite a while. We could have set up our own accreditation body. We could have built the machinery. We could have, but you know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of resources that, you know, would have to be paid for somehow. And then we look around and go, wait a minute, we have nonprofit friends who do this for a living. Let's go work with them instead. So Crest, you know, we had friends there, and this idea popped out of a conversation, I think, at a conference one day of, you know, we should do something together. And as you said, they bring rigor, repeatability, right? That there's a professionalism to the work that they do that we don't have to hire people to do. We can just count on them as a trusted nonprofit partner. So we appreciate your feedback on that, because that was one of the things we needed to learn. But it's really about conveying this confidence, right? That when the marketplace, which has scale, you know, has all kinds of resources and great folks like yourself, we want to make sure that we have a fair way to point to that. So that's kind of the background of it. So for me, Sean, to close on your question, it's just really an important thing. It's part of our growing up, our professionalism, but it's also about scaling. Is that, you know, we're a successful nonprofit company, and that's wonderful. But in our wildest dreams, we wouldn't, and it doesn't make sense for us to try and grow, we're not going to solve the cyber problem at CIS, right? We're going to work with the marketplace, work with the government bodies, work with standards, you know, scale through this ecosystem that's been built up out there. And, you know, Charity and her team, I think one of the things we talked about in a prior episode, Charity, was around the ecosystem of things around the controls, you know, to help people achieve, right? It's not about having, you know, carved on stone tablets, a list of things to do. It's about an ecosystem to achieve. And this is really a key part of that. So the timing is right. I think we appreciate, Lawrence, you being the pioneer for us on this and really pounding your way through it. And we also appreciate your feedback. So I can't wait to talk to the folks at Crest. I love that what you use, sporty, right? Sporty was the right word.
That's right.
It
was definitely a sporty process. And you know, I want to kind of footstomp something you said. That was the repeatability. You know, one of the hallmarks that we have internally, I'll say it's one of our aspirational values is that every engagement that we commence, that we begin and we undertake here, that there is a repeatable process to that, so that the data that comes out of that assessment, out of our engagement, every single one of them, that there is a repeatable process, and that the data that comes out could be used for comparative analysis, so that for a client or for us internally, that we can look at an aggregate pool of data and say, like, we know from period to period, from point A to point B to point C, that if there was a move in cybersecurity posture, if there was a progression or regression, and that the repeatability of the processes that we undertake, that those are reflected in that. And that's one of the things that I think in this, the CREST accreditation process, that really was a subcurrent. And it was a subcurrent that they didn't really pull forward, and they weren't like pointing to, but they really did want to understand how is it that you apply these things, and through what rigor and ongoing education and ongoing awareness of the whole of the CIS controls ecosystem of what's out there. And so to give you the feedback of it, yes, it absolutely was there. And internally, it aligned very well to one of the values that we hold very dear, to be able to, and I'll use your word, that professionalism, the professionalism of the application of these controls, because I think there is a gravity to it that really hasn't been there when we've talked about the controls over years past.
Yeah, Lawrence, you're singing Sean's song here, repeatability, as our CISO. You know, I get to pontificate about stuff. Sean actually has to do stuff. And so, you know, building a security program is a professional activity, right? It's about repeatability, measurement, feedback, et cetera. And it has the human dimensions of having to present information to boards, to executives, in a way that makes sense to them, that resonates and allows them to make a decision. So, Sean, I can see your eyes lighting up.
I'm very, very happy. Yeah. Well, the underlying element of it too, and Charity, I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well, is when you bring that type of rigor, sporty rigor, is what we're going to call it now, is that it also really, I think, sensitizes, and not decent, but sensitizes respective organizations to understand this need to build in such capability that come from an accredited part of the ecosystem. So, Charity, in that space, where do you see that role of accreditation as part of this greater ecosystem of security product and service?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to go back to our previous points, I wouldn't disagree with anything that Tony or Lawrence has said. But, you know, one thing that I really love about CIS, and I say this on every podcast and probably every presentation that I get, is that we listen to our communities. That is something that I take extremely seriously. And, you know, Lawrence, I commend you because it also shows and demonstrates that you guys take it very seriously as well, you know, to be able to do assessments and provide that to your clientele with the backing of the CREST accreditation process, right? It really does demonstrate that value. And at the end of the day, you know, as a former practitioner, when you're being assessed and you have to go to the board and you have to get budget for this, you know, you have to outsource some things. And we know that at CIS, right? That's, you know, that's what essential cyber hygiene is. And, you know, we pride ourselves on the controls themselves being prescriptive. And, you know, but yes, we understand that sometimes you have to outsource things, and you know, for you to be able to provide that attestation and that acknowledgement that you know exactly what you're doing when assessing against the controls, I think is so incredibly important. But you know, as far as the ecosystem itself, again, this is something I speak on a lot. We have an ever-growing and ever-evolving ecosystem, right, that comes out of community need, much like yourself, Lawrence, on how to adopt white papers, companion guides, etc., just to name a few. And the intent of those pieces of content are to ensure that we are providing our adopters and potential adopters with the data that they need to effectively manage a solid cybersecurity program with any organization of any size. So the CREST accreditation is no different, right? So we understand that, you know, that this is something new, right? It was just launched last year, but being able to provide that attestation and, you know, backing by CIS that the controls are being used in the right way, it is just another piece of the supporting ecosystem that I think is so incredibly important.
Absolutely. Before we continue, let's take a short break with a word from our sponsors.
Are you struggling to meet the standard of reasonableness in your cybersecurity efforts?
CIS Secure Suite comes with integrated cybersecurity tools and resources you can use to build a reasonable cyber defense program.
This will help you comply with US state data privacy laws, and it will empower you to demonstrate you've implemented the necessary security measures to avoid liability in the event of a data breach.
Now through November 1st, save up to 20% on a new CIS Secure Suite membership using promo code RCD24.
Make your cyber defense reasonable.
Achieve it, the CIS Secure Suite.
Visit www.cisecurity.org/CIS-secure-suite to learn more.
Thank you, and let's jump back into the episode. Lawrence, when I'm thinking now from an organization that is accredited, I want to talk an element of business value, but ultimately how that feeds in, one, both from the lens of service provider in your perspective, but then how is that contributive to other organizations that you work with as part of the osmosis of bringing you in as a trusted business partner, an accredited business partner in the space? How does that help really get through this value of, one, that ultimately, the controls are not necessarily misused or misrepresented from representative organizations. And plus, you know, you've been measured sportedly through rigor to a defined bar with repeatability and those types of elements. What does that bring to your organization?
That's a fantastic and very insightful question, John. Wow, that's a challenge to zoom into in the time that we have allotted, but I first want to point out something that I hope that your listeners picked up on, and that is Charity's point of, as a former practitioner, right, that someone that did this, that someone that had to report and sit in front of a board and have those conversations, right, that is an incredible win for CIS and for the community as a whole. Because that, having that understanding, right, the vernacular, the experience, the lessons learned, the we really shouldn't ever do that again, right, those things, having someone in the lead here is so important. And I think it really does support Charity, the point that you made, that you listen to, right, your constituency, to your community. And that's absolutely been my experience with all things in CIS over the, you know, now I guess this is probably about 13 years that we have used the controls. But Sean, to your point, as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of times that we'll engage with an organization, and they'll say, "Oh no, we love CIS. We do CIS. We use the CIS controls." And we'll dig in a little bit, and it turns out that they might be using like the even numbers or maybe the odd numbers, but not all of them.
These are not a buffet item.
Right.
It's not intended to just pick one or two or four.
Pick and choose. We've had times where organizations said, "Oh no, we implement IG3, implementation group 3. We implement all of the controls. We have a very mature cybersecurity program." And I mean, for me, that is an immediate hat tip. Right, if you're implementing IG3, you do have a very mature, robust cybersecurity program that probably has dedicated practitioners. And in several cases, we've had that said to us, and it's like one person in a very large network. And there's just not enough time in the day, or you're Superman. We dig into some of these things, and we find that the understanding of what the controls intend to do, or how the individual safeguards, right, that they're not selective. They're really intended to be comprehensive, and they're meant to be prescriptive and meant to be taken as a whole, that they're really not being done that way. And so having the accreditation, one of the business values that I found that it really does bring is when we come in and we find those situations, then it's not necessarily who's right, who's wrong. We can at least lean on the fact that I mean, the way that we have interpreted it, the way that we engage with it, it has been through external rigor. We do have formal training and education on that. We have hundreds, if not now thousands, of engagements that we have done this on. But we do understand that. So maybe we can be the trusted experts as opposed to the pick and choose that we often come into. The other, I think, other point of value that I think it really is in Charity, going back to something you said around the communication with a board, with any oversight. It may not be a formal board of directors, but an executive team in a mid-market company. They may not have a formal GRC board of directors that's over it, but an executive team to be able to point to something and say, we have gone through this. We are different in the fact that we understand the intention of the controls as related to truly risk governance and risk management, not just cybersecurity things, but understanding how do we contain that in a policy? How do we look at that from reporting, from closed loop on both sides? And really just short circuiting a lot of that credibility building that has to be done, not eliminating it, but surely shortening that cycle when we're dealing with those executive teams that we can point to Crest and say, I mean, these guys know what they're doing, right? This is their business. Like kind of turning to your point, right? This is their business of really being able to validate organizations that can have that accreditation. I don't know, does that answer your question, Sean?
Absolutely, Lawrence. I think, you know, when I'm doing my own assessments, I just give a preference of when we look at vendor risk management and we look at supply chain security control and thinking through what that means for respective organizations. There's certain things that you look for, right? The trigger elements, the flags, as it were. And one of these in this area, and it's one of the attributable factors, is looking at accredited capability through organizations. One, the transparency that we've provided in terms of ultimately the requirement to be accredited has such value in terms of not only understanding, one, who am I partnering with, who is now part of my small ecosystem that's now become bigger. But it also provides an opportunity for these types of discussions. These discussions of how are we managing GRC, or as you coming into an organization, providing that type of capability, Lawrence, is it helps, one, break down the narrative, two, creates a method of communicating the controls as this is our standard, this is what we're bringing to the table, here's a recommendation. And then ultimately, Tony, the way I think about it, brings that confidence now, not only from the first person, but the second and the tertiary, as it were, through the supply chain elements. And we've seen a huge focus on that in the past few years, in terms of it's not just us, but who we work with, and being able to provide this type of capability, or at least alignment to this accredited process, I think has a massive value in the market. But Tony, I wanted to see if that resonates with you.
Oh, absolutely, Sean. I think part of it, you know, modern models of security, say zero trust, right? You know, nothing has been more cleverly named than zero trust. Zero trust. That just sounds like I eliminated a lot of work. No, you just upped your work by 100x, because trust is now a dynamically renegotiated condition constantly. Every transaction, every supplier, down to machine processes, and you know, every, and so you have to have a basis for negotiation of trust. You know, you have to be able to point to something, right? To say, I used to say we won't make progress in cybersecurity until we raise the discussion above the one IT guy, one auditor level. You know, we have to raise the level of discussion to say, how do I have confidence in you? And we're not going to do it by arguing every control one at a time. It is nonsensical. It's just way overwhelming, and it doesn't scale. It's not repeatable, et cetera, et cetera. So part of this is raising the discussion as a basis for negotiation to have confidence, right? At the end of the day, Sean, you as a CISO in a security company, you have to have confidence. You have to work with the IT to implement it, and you have to share it, convey it to, you know, a very fussy board of directors, by the way. I don't know if they listen to this podcast or not, but you know, they're security people, right? So they were going to be incredibly picky about their questions and opinionated about what to do. So you've got to navigate all that from the lowest level of technology to the highest level, to the independent auditor and their opinion, to the supply chain partner, you know, either as the big one or little one. So I think that is an incredibly important part of all this is to, and you know, we have tried to, one of our other taglines, Lawrence, I always try my taglines out on charity, but this one for you.
I appreciate that.
No, we use the term, it's not just about the list. You know, when we write the controls, and Charity gave the right examples and you reflected them, Lawrence, right? We're not writing on stone tablets, right? We're not making individual recommendations. We're starting workflow. In other words, people are going to take what we recommend and they're going to plug it into the universal security tool, Excel, or they're going to use a GRC tool. They're going to assign a human being. They're going to look for a class of tool. In other words, they're starting workflow. And so we wanted to upfront design our recommendations and the pieces around it, recognizing that, right? We want to, you know, as a service, we want to minimize the cost of that, maximize the transparency and visibility of all that, because we know that they're going to have to convince the boss, they're going to have to convince the board, convince the auditor. So we have tried to, and I thank you for your comments, we have tried to include that thinking in this. That's why you pointed at Charity's experience. She used to have to carry that story, and now she's in a position to influence what we create up front. And I've always contended, folks like us who make security recommendations for a living, if we would just open our aperture a little bit, we could make the workload much lighter all the way down the line. But instead, we tend to create gigantic prose documents that folks like you have to like read and interpret and, you know, turn over the tea leaves and try to figure out what to do. And the next auditor decides he has a different interpretation, et cetera. That creates a lot of duplication, right? A lot of wasted work. You know, that's why we provide the cross mappings to all these other frameworks to help minimize that work, right? We don't have to do that, but we're making a point. We recognize you, folks like you, live in an ecosystem of many frameworks, and you're going to have to deal with them. So we're going to do whatever we can control to minimize that for you so that you can focus on the higher order things that Sean mentioned, right? This negotiation of trust without having to dig into every unique detail of every control and every item in there. Otherwise, you know, that's just massive cost for really questionable benefit. I think absolutely. I was disagreeing with you, Sean. So it's all good. I took a long way, though.
No, that's absolutely all good. All good. Well, as we start to wrap up, Charity, I want to get your final thoughts on the accreditation and its importance in this space, and anything you want to leave our listeners with.
I really liked something that Lawrence said, as far as, you know, certainly not, you know, if you hire somebody to come in and do these assessments, absolutely you want to have someone that's trusted, right? And that's what the accreditation provides. Not necessarily eliminating all of the conversations that you would have to have around your cybersecurity program, but at least puts it into the right perspective. You're getting recommendations from a trusted partner that can help with those conversations that you have with your board of directors, even again if it's not formalized. I was actually going to make the joke that, you know, most of the time the boards that I've talked to don't have, you know, all that much knowledge around cybersecurity, except for ours. So, but yeah, I just think it's so incredibly important to do things the right way. And I really think that this is a step in that direction. So very excited about the accreditation process, very excited that Lawrence is pioneering that for us, as we stated earlier. So I congratulate you again. I think it's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to our special guest, Lawrence, I'll give you the final word, sir.
Oh, wow. That is an honor. well, I will say it is a distinct honor to be here amongst this group of people. You know, the practice of the controls is, it is an exciting one. And it is something that, as I've mentioned a few times here, has been something that has been a pursuit of ours as a company for over a decade. I think that the point with accreditation here, it really does embolden the fact that there is transparency, that there is further an extension of the CIS ecosystem. I am absolutely thrilled to be a part of that. In the little part that we can play, I am ecstatic, and that is a position of honor that we don't take lightly. I will say for the listeners that are out there that are listening to this to learn about accreditation, I would encourage them to consider pursuing that if you're in the consulting role. If CIS is part of your practice, then consider the pursuit of the accreditation. For those that are on the other side of that equation, those that have chosen to pursue the accreditation are the ones that really really have put their practices on the line, opened the kimono per se, to CREST of how they interpret an education and all of the things. And that process was rigorous and was with a commensurate amount of diligence that I have a great deal of respect for. And I have a great deal of respect for those inside of CIS that undertook the decision to pursue this, to make this a thing. So I will leave it and say thank you for actually making this a thing so that we can be out there and be a little bit different than many in the community.
Wonderful. Well, what an episode, Tony. I mean, absolutely fantastic. Lawrence, Charity, thank you so much for all that you do and contribute back to the community. Absolutely phenomenal. And with that, we will adjourn our meeting for today. Remember to subscribe in all the usual ways. And new episodes drop every Wednesday. And with that, Tony, how about you lead us out, sir?
All right. Thank you all. Thanks for the thank you to the listeners. We always appreciate your time and attention. And this is a wonderful topic. Thank you, Lawrence, for joining us as a guest today. We appreciate the pioneer is always the gets the most lessons learned, and you've shared some of them with us today. And we really appreciate that. So to the audience again, thank you again. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.